さよなら、たまたま、じゃあよく、旅ありの。
はい、
どうも、飛び立たならば、さよぎりばらたり、さよぎりばらたり。Yashoda Nandana Jayo Braja Sanaranjana Yashoda Nandana Jayo Braja SanaranjanaJayo Braja Sanaranjana Ramuna Tiravana ChariJayo Puncha Diyari Jayo Jayo Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jayo Puncha DiyariJayo Puncha Diyari Tupijana Balaba Jayo Giri VaradhariJayo Giri Bharadari Yashoda Nandana Jayo Braja JanaranjanaTiravana Chari Jayo Puncha Dihari Jayo Jayo Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jayo Puncha DihariHare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki Shri Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribraja Pacharya Totarasata Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki Rantara Srimata Bhagavatam ki Smaveta Bhaktivinda ki All glories to the Sambal devotees. All glories to the Sambal devotees. All glories to Sri Shri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritim Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Nudirayet Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 1, summary. So I will ask one of you, maybe Daita or Acharanista, to read the summary.
Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, there are descriptions of 10 subject matters, including creation, subsequent creation, and the planetary systems. Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, has already described creation, subsequent creation, and the planetary systems in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th cantos. Now, in the 6th canto, which consists of 19 chapters, he will describe Poshana, or protection by the Lord. The first chapter relates the history of Ajamil, who was considered a greatly sinful man, but was liberated when 4 order carriers of Vishnu came to rescue him from the hands of the order carriers of Yamaraj. A full description of how he was liberated, having been relieved of the reactions of his sinful life, is given in this chapter. Sinful activities are painful both in this life and in the next. We should know for certain that the cause of all painful life is sinful action. On the path of fruitive work, one certainly commits sinful activities, and therefore, according to the considerations of Karmakanda, different types of atonement are recommended. Such methods of atonement, however, do not free one from ignorance, which is the root of sinful life. Consequently, one is prone to commit sinful activities even after atonement, which is therefore very inadequate for purification. On the path of speculative knowledge, one becomes free from sinful life by understanding things as they are. Therefore, the acquirement of speculative knowledge is also considered a method of atonement. While performing fruitive activities, one can become free from the actions of sinful life through austerity, penance, celibacy, control of the mind and senses, truthfulness, and practice of mystic yoga. By awakening knowledge, one may also neutralize sinful reactions. Neither of these methods, however, can free one from the tendency to commit sinful activities. By bhakti yoga, one can completely avoid the tendency for sinful life. Other methods are not very feasible. Therefore, the Vedic literature concludes that devotional service is more important than the methods of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. Only the path of devotional service is auspicious for everyone. Fruitive activities and speculative knowledge cannot independently liberate anyone, but devotional service, independent of karma and jnana, is so potent that one who has fixed his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna is guaranteed not to meet the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, even in dreams.
Thank you. Let's see.
To prove the strength of devotional service, Shukadeva Goswami describes the history of Ajamil. Ajamil was a resident of Kanyakubja, the modern Kanauj. He was trained by his parents to become a perfect Brahmana by studying the Vedas and following the regulative principles. But because of his past, this youthful Brahmana was somehow attracted by a prostitute, and because of her association, he became most fallen and abandoned all regulative principles. Ajamil begot in the womb of the prostitute 10 sons, the last of whom was called Narayana. At the time of Ajamil's death, when the order carriers of Yamaraj came to take him, he loudly called the name Narayana in fear because he was attached to his youngest son. Thus, he remembered the original Narayana, Lord Vishnu. Although he did not chant the holy name of Narayana completely offenselessly, it acted nevertheless. As soon as he chanted the holy name of Narayana, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu immediately appeared on the scene. A discussion ensued between the order carriers of Lord Vishnu and those of Yamaraj, and by hearing that discussion, Ajamil was liberated. He could then understand the bad effect of fruitive activities and could also understand how exalted is the process of devotional service.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. So today we are starting the sixth canto. I wasn't supposed to be here, but unfortunately, Jaya Jagannath couldn't be here because he has another responsibility. So therefore, that's why I'm here. I was surprised also. Well, we're starting a canto which the underlying subject matter is called Poshana, which is one of the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 10 subjects on the Srimad Bhagavatam describing the second canto, which doesn't pertain necessarily to a specific canto, but every canto has more of that subject than another. Therefore, we attribute to the sixth canto the subject of Poshana, which means protection. Protection from the Lord to his devotees. Especially, even if they have to deviate from the path of Dharma. That will be the case of Ajamil, which is also considered a devotee. And we will study in the next weeks how he, in spite of forgetting devotional service in Krishna, he still was protected by the Lord in the form of his holy name. And then we will have the story of Chitraketu, who also was protected by the Lord, by a mistake he committed with Lord Shiva. In the previous cantos, especially in the fifth canto, it was described the living entity who is in this material world and is not willing to rectify himself or herself, and therefore they have to suffer in the hellish planets. When Maharaj Parikshit heard all these descriptions of the hellish planets, how the living entity is sent to those places, and there are kind of horrible explanations that make you feel afraid of that place, Maharaj Parikshit was really concerned about the conditioned souls who are there, because he is a pure devotee, and one of the qualities of pure devotees is titiksava karunika, they feel compassion for others suffering, and they feel happiness for other happiness, spiritual happiness. And that's why he asked Sukadeva Goswami how they can be free from those, from going there. So Sukadeva Goswami will explain, will test Maharaj Parikshit, explaining first different level of counteracting sinful activities, which is the ignorance and sinful activities are connected, and they are the root of suffering, or the cause of going to lower stages of consciousness in life, which means tama guna, or more unconsciousness of our real position, and an increase of suffering. Maharaj Parikshit's concern will be answered in this way by Sukadeva Goswami, like testing him, and Maharaj Parikshit will pass the test. The whole idea will be that devotional service will be established as the ultimate solution for counteracting sinful life, and consequently going practicing pure devotional service when you are free. There are basically three main processes. One is Jnanakanda, Karmakanda, and Bhakti, Upasana, worshipping the Lord. Of course, we have Yoga, also Ashtanga Yoga. The idea is that all these processes describing the Vedas, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Bhakti Yoga, they have the understanding that the living entity has desires in this material world, and the living entity wants to satisfy their material desires and has a propensity to see the world as their own object of enjoyment, and therefore is trying to manipulate the world. So these processes are gradual. You start by Karmakanda, which acknowledge your material desires and give you many opportunities to fulfill your desires. Like in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, it's described that according to the different demigods and rituals that you perform, you can fulfill specific desires. Like, for example, if you want to be a hero, does anyone want to be a hero? You should worship Lord Shiva. If you want to increase your sexual life, you worship Indra. If you want liberation, you worship Lord Brahma. If you want health, that many of us want better health, then you worship the Ashwini Kumaras, no Medicare. You worship Ashwini Kumaras. No need of Medicare. This is the process of Gyanakanda, is worshiping different demigods to fulfill specific desires. And the process and the desire doesn't correspond. So the thing that you have to do to obtain what you want doesn't match, are different. It's the same in our secular life. When, for example, if we want health, but we have to follow a process. For example, now there is the Obamacare new program. So you have to go through a system if you want health. I mean, if you want to receive a system from doctors or medicals, you have to enter in a system and follow a process. Pay money, fulfill certain requirements, and in that way you can get covered. Health. So in the same way, there is a process in the Karmakanda that you have to follow. At that time, when the Vedic culture was established, it was like doing different, like the same that we are doing now. We have to do basically a process for obtaining our desire. If you want a house, you have to follow a process. Not only get the money, but also go through a legal process. And you have to fulfill certain requirements, and then the house will be given to you. But the anxieties, you have to go through that in order to obtain your house or your cover, I don't know the word, but cover health, is different from what you want. It's causing you, it doesn't have anything to do. Once you obtain that, you don't need you don't want to do that process. It's not enjoyable to. So in the same way, Karmakanda process, you have to do so many sacrifices, like possession, wealth, etc., in order to obtain something from the demigods. So the goal and the process are not the same. Once you obtain what you want, you don't care about that demigod anymore. Like Hiranyakashipu, he worshipped Lord Shiva, he also worshipped Lord Brahma. And when he got the benedictions, he started causing troubles to, he didn't have any appreciation for Lord Brahma after receiving all benedictions. So these processes are not motivated by love, are motivated by self-interest, by selfish desires. So in the same way, our relationship with the government, or facilities, are not based on love or relationship, are based on personal interest from both sides. So through this process, it's recommended in the Vedas, but it's condemned by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, because he said that this is not very intelligent to go to the demigods to fulfill your desires, because he called people Hrita Jnana. If you are approaching the demigod for fulfilling your desire, you're missing something. That Krishna is the one who is providing, actually. You are one step close, but still you don't see the one who is behind this creation. And Krishna is the source, we know, as Hansarvasa Prabhupada, is the source of everything, and he's providing, and he's sanctioning if the demigod can give something or not. In the same way, a doctor, for example, He thinks that he can give life to someone else. He may think that he can prolong life. If you have cancer or if you have a serious sickness, disease, then you go to a doctor, and if you pay them, they say that they may increase your duration of life. But actually, they are missing also another point. They can't do that if Paramatma doesn't sanction that. So they can do that. In the same way, there is some similarities between this process of karmakanda and the process of economical development that modern society has. Also, both are based in taking shelter of another person who has more power to give you the to fulfill your desires, but both of them are missing the ultimate point, that the one who is providing and the owner of this creation is Krishna. And both have the same mentality of manipulate the material energy somehow through God taking shelter to someone else, or by trying to do that by themselves. In the jnana process, you give up all these endeavors to fulfill desires out of frustration, because the nature of material desires is that they are never fulfilled. Our senses, which are the means by which we can obtain pleasure, they have a saturation point. Either the gross senses, like our sense of touch and sight, smell, etc., and also our subtle senses, like the mind, the intelligence. So a jnani is a person who went through all these type of enjoyment, but finally he understood that I'm not satisfied, I need something else. So he started looking for a peace, a freedom from anxieties. Because they realized that if you try, the day you try to be happy, you become miserable. Because many anxieties come from in order to fulfill your desire. The day you decide to have a new house, there will come many other problems on that. In order to obtain that, to raise a family, everything becomes complicated. And again, he doesn't want to be involved in that. So he wants peace, but still he is not free from desire. He wants something. And what he wants also is not eternal. The freedom from material existence without relationship with the Lord, without something else, just peace is not an eternal condition of the soul. The soul is active. Like Krishna. Krishna is also active. So this process of jnana basically is a transition, only it's a temporary stage if you achieve perfection in that process. And finally, bhakti is the process which acknowledges also our desires, that we have the material desires, we reject Krishna, everything. The process is made in such a way that understand our whole psychology in this material world, of our tendency to enjoy, but is attacking the root, destroying that root of the conception that this world is separated from Krishna and is meant for our own enjoyment. So bhakti has ways to rectify the condition soul, but in a way that is very pleasing to the soul and very appealing, which means is basically taking all the tendencies of the living entity and directing them to Krishna again, where they are originally. So that sense of looking of for happiness, or that sense of void within us, that we are missing something, is fulfilled through bhakti, through the process of bhakti. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, he quotes a verse, Akama Sarva Kamova. He said that bhakti is for everyone. Bhakti is for everyone. Even if you are full of desire, material desires, if you are a sinful person, you can practice bhakti. If you want liberation, you can practice bhakti. Because bhakti doesn't need anything. It's like the sun, Tivrena, like the rays of the sun that are all powerful. It doesn't require any external force to act. Like for obtaining liberation, you need something different than liberation. And for obtaining your material desires in the process of karma kanda, you need something different from your material desires in order to get them to that process. But through bhakti, what you will obtain is bhakti, and what you will practice is bhakti in itself. It's all powerful. And at this point, one may ask, so doesn't have any requirement bhakti, because it's for everyone. It has only one requirement, which is attraction for Krishna, for the practices of bhakti. That's the only requirement, and that is obtained by mercy, either through a pure devotee or through Krishna. Therefore, the qualifications such as renunciation and jnana are useless to start bhakti. They can be even an obstacle, the concepts of even vairagya and jnana. We will see through this Sit Canto how even personalities who were very attached to his son, for example, like Ajamil, they obtained bhakti. Or they, without going through a process of detachment, just by the bhakti itself can give jnana and vairagya, and can also destroy all the propensities of karma kanda, of enjoying, trying to enjoy in such a way that when you have fulfilled your desires, you don't really want them. When you obtain that house, you're like, okay, so what? That's okay. You're not creating more desires. In the materialistic process, you have something and then you want something else, something else, something else, something else. You're never satisfied. But through bhakti, if you get any thing, like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom, but he followed this advice of Sukadeva Goswami through Narada Muni's instruction and through his mother. He was full of desires, and he was advised, instead of worshipping demigods, to worship Krishna. So he worshipped Krishna, and when he obtained the kingdom, he didn't want it. Because the happiness he experienced by having the darshan of Sri Krishna and all his beauty, he became so overwhelmed by spiritual happiness, and his senses became so fulfilled of ecstasy by their sight, observing the body of the Lord, etc., that he was thinking that this kingdom now was like a broken pieces of glass. When you eat broken pieces of glass, you start bleeding within. It's very dangerous. So that's the realization of the person who is practicing bhakti yoga. He understands that all these material desires and think that you want separated from Krishna are just causing you pain. It's like subtle subproducts of bhakti, like prestige, fame, things like that. For a practitioner or advanced practitioner is bhakti. This is like broken pieces of glass. It's something that causing him pain. Some devotees compare that with a stool. It's like eating a stool. All these material desires. It's like a stool is a subproduct of food. But for the devotee, it's a subproduct of prasadam. But you don't want that. You must be crazy if you want that. If you say, that is coming from prasadam, Prabhu, let me take it. So in the same way, if you say, let me take this one glory, instead of saying all glories to Srila Prabhupada, let me say almost all glories to Srila Prabhupada and take one for me, that is like eating a stool. It's like the sort of product of bhakti doesn't have anything to do really with bhakti. It's like a stool doesn't have anything to do with prasadam. It's what you don't need. So for a pure devotee, they really show that they don't want anything because they are fully satisfied through this process. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami advice is giving this process of bhakti, which counteracts sinful activity, but the devotee doesn't really looking for freedom of sinful activities. These are karma kandis, who are trying to follow a process to fulfill their desires in such a way that they don't commit sinful acts, like vikarmis, who fulfill their desires, but they commit sinful, acts, they complicate their life. Like in our life, if you want a car, you have the option of stealing the car or buying through a legal process the car. So if you steal the car, then you may go to jail. So you may think, oh, maybe I don't want that. I want the car. That's my goal, but I don't want to go to jail, so I will have to follow the legal process. So that's the mentality is the same. I want the car, I want to enjoy. So for the karma kandi and the vikarmi, they have the same mentality. But one is a little bit more intelligent, but that's all. But for the bhakti yogi is not interested even in being free from that. He is even willing to go or even go through situation that he will be placed that will bring consequences, that he will be placed in suffering. Like Arjuna, he was willing to fight, even to kill in a battlefield, and knowing that is sinful. But then he did it because a higher principle is doing for Krishna. So he even was willing to suffer the loss of his son in the battlefield, etc. Many things just to please Krishna. Narayano parasarve nakutaschana vivyati. The devotee is not afraid, never, in any circumstances. He doesn't care about swarga, pavarga, so heavenly planets or narakesu, or hellish planet, like was described, for him, for her, is the same, because he's enjoying or she is tasting a higher happiness that will give the strength to go through any difficulty without giving up or without losing the taste for Krishna. So even the more difficulties they endure, the more attraction for Krishna they develop. So we have many characters in Srimad Bhagavatam that they show that when they are in disturbing situations, they show the highest devotion to Krishna. Like Queen Kunti and Narada Muni, he was a little boy, 5 years old, 7 years old, and he lost his mother. And instead of blaming everyone and blaming God because he lost his mother and becoming a about the child rejected by society and then stealing to people. Like many times we find a boy who lost his mother and then he started behaving in a very bad way. And then we understand, okay, but he lost his mother. We should understand that. But these great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam, the devotees, they, like Narada Muni, he lost his mother and he decided, oh, this is a sign of the Lord to take shelter of him. And he became a pure devotee by taking that situation, that difficulty as an impulse to go closer to Krishna. So therefore, the devotees are not really afraid of being free from hellish life, etc. They are concerned with pleasing Krishna, with serving Krishna. Therefore, the jnani is looking for freedom from anxieties. No freedom from sinful reactions. He doesn't commit any sin, but he wants to be free from this anxiety of the material world. But the devotee doesn't want that, even. If you see the life of the devotees, from the beginning to the end, are very dynamic and full of emotions and full of the same thing that are in everyday life for everyone. Either you are a devotee or not. The life of the devotees are full of situations and situation of fear, problems, etc. that they have to face. And they even are willing to take more difficulties. Why? Because they have a higher purpose of life that is so fulfilling that take them to go farther and farther without taking in consideration the situations. We have many examples. And we will see those examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. But in our daily life, we have example of Prabhupada disciples and devotees and Srila Prabhupada willing to take many risks and complicating his life at the end, like being 70 years old, and instead of enjoying the peace of Vrindavan and the holy association there, he's taking going to another direction at the time of death, almost, when everyone's supposed to make sure that he's going back to Godhead. No? So he's not. Prabhupada is going to the West and he's starting a whole movement and taking a lot of anxieties, engaging in administration, and dealing with money at the end of his life, dealing with properties, with so many anxieties, like hellish life. But Prabhupada was in ecstasy because he knew that the material world is not for us, it's for Krishna. It's Krishna's property, and he was utilizing that for Krishna. And all this kind of suffering that doesn't pertain really to the body, to the soul, or pertain to the body, and the devotee is situated in the plane of the soul. And so the devotees and the who are the example of the bhakti process, they in Srimad Bhagavatam they show the highest character and how they are above all these karmis and jnanis, in the sense that they are hankering for something superior, and they can go through any situation in life without being disappointed of their objective in life. So even if they don't say, oh, why so much endeavor to obtain Krishna, give me these beads, throw it away. Since I became a practitioner of bhakti, I don't sleep more. I have to do so many things, so many services. Why is this? No, he has a higher purpose. Another mentality, psychology of the jnani, the karmi, the karmi, they will give up if they have to go through so many endeavors finally. So therefore they become jnanis. They become frustrated. Oh, this process is useless, material desires. Because their objective is not really strong. It doesn't fulfill. So finally they give up karma kanda. And jnana kanda, that peace also is not so fulfilling that you can stay there for always. What is this? This peace, I have to do something. But in bhakti you can be situated. It's like an airplane who goes and then have to have a place to land, to go back. So in jnana, in karma, you don't have that place. So the only place for a platform for the soul, or in this case for an airplane, the airport, the only airport is bhakti yoga. It's the way where you can rest once you get there. Otherwise, all situations are temporal. Temporary. Okay. So I'm sorry if I commit any mistake in the presentation. Or is there any comments?
Thank you for class, Prabhu. Is there any way a jnana yogi can lead into bhakti yogi?
Is there any
way, jnana yogi, is that how you say it?
Yeah, actually, jnana is meant to finally take you to bhakti, but Bahunanja Mananamte, after many, many life of endeavor in this and that process, you may get the realization that Krishna is the supreme cause. But also if the practitioner gets the association of pure devotees, then he can switch to the bhakti process. There are also, like Sukadeva Goswami, he was in the process of jnana, but in the womb of his mother, he was already self-realized, so he didn't even want to get born. He was there, stuck in the womb for 16 years. But when he heard the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, he became attracted, and that was a qualification, to hear those narrations of the Lord, and that's why he started practicing bhakti. And also the Kumaras, they were in the process of jnana, and they become attracted to the smell of tulsi leaves who are in the lotus feet of Krishna. So they became attracted to an aspect of bhakti. So in that way they can switch. So it's possible. But that depends of, especially from the mercy. It's causeless. It's not because the process of jnana really takes you to bhakti for your sincere endeavor. It's, you may call the attention of the Lord somehow. So, see some faces are expressing something.
I was wondering if you could explain a little more the concept of fearlessness. The devotee is fearless. So maybe in some difficult circumstances, it's not that he's careless, like, oh, you know, I can just walk through the highway
the fire
with my eyes closed. Yeah, I don't have any fear. So, but at the same time, he may be in some difficult circumstances. There may be, his life may be in jeopardy. So in one sense, maybe there's some emotion, but he has a deeper shelter. Or could you just explain the devotee's concept of fearlessness?
Yeah, but Bhayandvitiya Vinivesha Tasyat is the concept of the fear. The cause of fear is separation from Krishna, of rejection of Krishna. Basically, the fear that the devotee doesn't have, it refers to the uncertainty of this material world. Because you are acting, or we are acting in an unnatural condition in which we think that we own something and that we have something and we have to protect that something. Like, for example, a computer, suppose. Like, you think it's yours and then you have to protect that. And then you are afraid of someone who will steal it, etc. And the same with our body, that we are afraid of dying, or maybe getting old or get a disease because of the upadis, of the different level of identity. Sometimes we identify with objects and therefore someone beat my car crashed, and I think that this is causing me pain also to me. And then identity with ideas, a conception of philosophies that we may be defeated. The philosophy may, we may, someone else may defeat my conception of my philosophy of life. That's another type of fear. And then there are fear coming from identities of so many identities of life, like from the gender, like the opposite sex reject me. I'm afraid of how to deal in relationships with my father or my son. Why am I afraid to lose? Because I see that my happiness depends on something else, external to me. Something that I think that pertains and is part of me, but actually it's not part of me. So the devotee has another approach. He's not careless. He's not careless. He's not afraid. He understands the connection of all these identities and objects. He can use all this material body. He can use the objects. He can have relationships, but he's not afraid because he understands that everything is eternally connected. Mamava and Sojiva, okay, we are part of Krishna. We are eternally connected with Krishna, and his energy also is eternal and is connected to Krishna. So he tries to see everything in the proper context. So the way he deals with things is careful because pertain to Krishna. His body pertains to Krishna. He has to take care of his body in order to serve Krishna. And he may deal with situations. Even again, he will go through anxieties or even so-called fears, but in order to obtain a higher goal, to obtain Krishna. Like the devotees, they may be afraid of someone coming and damaging the temple, for example. The difference is that acts as an impulse to serve Krishna. Whatever anxiety, fears that we can perceive in a devotee is spiritual, if that give attraction to Krishna. Otherwise, it's Rama Eva Hikevalam, is disconnected to Krishna and doesn't give you more impetus to serve, or doesn't bring you any happiness. For the devotees, absolute. So I refer to fear that is coming from the separation of the understanding that Krishna and I, and that Krishna's energy and I are different, and it pertains to me. But for the devotee, he goes through all this emotion, even of fear, that is different. It's another quality of fear. It's not coming from a wrong understanding of who they are, but it's a natural response to something. Is it that address the question, maybe? Okay, so the idea is not to be Nobody's saying that we have to be careless. The devotion of the devotee is also will be shown how he careful he is. We had the example of our Acharya. He was careful in everything. He always ended his letter, "I hope this meets you in good health." He was careful of the health of the devotees. He was careful of the property, that not even a drop of water will be missed in the temple. He was careful that all temple were very, very clean. So it looked like a materialistic acharya. If you go to a shopping center, everything is very clean. So people are very careful, don't touch this, etc. And Prabhupada was like that, also very careful. But because he was understanding that it was Krishna's energy, it's coming from. So in the between, we may become careless, but it's because of our lack of devotion and our lack of understanding. We become detached of something that never was our. Okay. Srimad. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, this question is regarding previous verse. Like it's mentioned that there is a hellish planet, and householder, when a guest comes, and if he sees the guest with a different view, then he has to go to the hellish planet. Right?
I can understand. Then what you're saying.
Okay. If a visitor comes to a householder.
It's a visitor.
Yeah. And the householder sees the guest in a different view, like, you know, in a negative sense. Then he has to go to a hellish planet.
Who has to go?
The householder.
Why?
Cruel
glance. Okay. Cruel glance.
So, or he says, Vaishnavara kukur, I mean, means I'm a dog of a Vaishnava, right? So my question is, like, in our, like, suppose we become devotees and we have a particular position or some particular department, so we see others in a, we judge devotees in other negative way or something, like, you know, so, that thought is there because we have false ego. So what's the result of that?
Looking at others?
Yeah,
cruel way.
We judge devotees, like, even yeah, we may have some fault finding, like some.
Yeah, judging devotees within, yeah, not without expressing externally, is not a practice of bhakti. It's something else. It doesn't pertain to the process of bhakti. Therefore, it's a material activity. And material activity bring entanglement in, so they don't produce anything positive for the soul. These are due to anarthas that we have to look in that way. Only acharyas, they can look critically to the material world and to people out of compassion to help them. But if we are not in that level, we are just looking materially and seeing what is inside us in others. So we are seeing just a reflection of our envy or our lack of commitment, etc., in others. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati explained that. This is just it's a projection of when one look faults in others, especially in devotees, and that can lead to the temporary stop of devotional service. So, okay. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Prabhupada ki. I got for tolerating.
I needed to hear that about fear. Huh? I needed to hear that about fear. What you said about fear. Sometimes I don't. We are here to be around Krishna.